Now that I've found the microphone and my Bible, I'm ready to preach this morning. If you have your Bible, if you'll be turning with me to the Gospel of Luke in the 15th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment. And while you're getting your Bibles, we want you to feel at ease as we make our study today. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know we consider you an honored guest. I encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. In just a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that's been suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and upon that confession, be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins, as is taught in Mark 16:16, and many other places. You know, some Sundays when you wake up, you start thinking about the lesson you prepared. And many times when I get up, I always pray about what should I preach. And sometimes I make Randolph and Chuck mad because I changed my mind and I apologize. But sometimes when you begin to think about what needs to be preached, your mind changes. And what I'd like to do is look in Luke 15 for our study this morning. In Luke 15, if you will, begin with me at verse 11. Then he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of good that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. I do not know how many sermons I've preached from the Gospel of Luke in the 15th chapter. And yet I must say this morning, I'm not ashamed to go back and reread what Jesus taught on that occasion. And what I'd like to do for just a few moments of our time this morning is examine what I'll call the pig pen trail. And when we think about a trail leading to a pig pen, we may have in mind a farmland somewhere. I've got a friend in Spring Hill who's been raising pigs, and I've went with him up when we've slopped the pigs. And I've thought about the hogs and the pigs, and I think about that trail he walks every morning and evening to make sure that the pigs are fed. But I want us to think about that trail in another sense. I want us to look at a young man who had his life before him, and I want us to recognize that this man had a choice to make in life. And in the Bible, in the book of Luke, in the 15th chapter, you'll find that this young man appears to have grown up in a house where the father was pretty well-to-do. He had two sons, and the Bible says he had land. And yet you'll find that the younger son goes to the father, and he says to the father, give me my portion. In other words, he is saying to the father, you have outlived your usefulness to me. I would rather you be dead, and I have the estate that belongs to me. Go ahead and give me my inheritance. So the father looks at the son. He could have refused it, but instead the father gives that young man the inheritance he would have received. And notice, not many days after, that young man chose to leave. I've often thought, what was in the mind of that young man that made him decide he wanted to leave home? What was in the mind and heart of a young man that he decided that he would rather go to a far country and dwell there instead of live with the father and his brother? Could it have been he didn't like the rules and restrictions of the father? Maybe the house had certain things that he had to do while he lived on the premises. And he said, you know, I want to get out. I want to be on my own. I want to do my own thing. I don't want to answer to anybody. And thus this young man came to the father and he said, I've had enough. I am ready to depart. I'm ready to be my own man. And I'm going to go into the far country. But the second thing I want us to think about is that the father allowed it. Notice that the father allowed this young man his free will. The father didn't refuse him. The father did not say, go on, but you don't get your inheritance. But notice that the father allowed that young man to make up his own mind and make up his own decision. He did not force him to stay. He did not force him to continue to live in that home. But the father allowed that young man to go out and live a riotous, prodigal life. But that brings up another thought in our study. Have you ever stopped to think about that young man made a decision? And that decision was he wanted to take his life into his own hands. He decided that he knew what was best. That whatever the rules and regulations the father had given, that was not for him. And that young man decided that he wanted to take his life into his own hands and be his own guy. He didn't need anybody else telling him how to live. He was wise enough. He was smart enough. And thus he didn't need any rules and he didn't need guidelines. He didn't need the Word of God. All he needed was his street smarts. And thus that young man said, I can take my life and I'll take it into my own hands and I'll do what I want to do. But that brings up a third thing. Now that you see the young man packing up his goods and notice he starts to take off, notice he heads down the trail to the far country. I've often thought about that statement, far country. And one thing I'll give the young man credit for, he knew better than to try to stay where the father was and make a success of sin. He went into the far country away from his father because he knew exactly what he wanted to do. He knew how he wanted to live. And thus that young man packed up his goods and went into the far country. Wherever that land was, it wasn't near home. It wasn't near daddy. It wasn't near any restriction. It wasn't near daddy's influence or reputation. That young man took his life into his own hands and he went into the far country. But then I want you to think about what happens when he gets there. He joins himself to a crowd he was not raised for. When you read your Bible in the book of Luke in the 15th chapter, notice the kind of people that he deals with. And it's not that he is dealing with these people hoping to convert them, but he goes to these people that he may engage in their sinful activity. If you take your Bible, you'll find that it talks about that he was with the harlots of that day, and he had spent all and devoured the livelihood of his father. Here was a young man that was living in the filth and mire of sin long before he gets to the pig pen. He's living in the far country, away from his father, away from God's Word. He is living a life controlled by his own passions and his own desires. And thus that young man says, I answer to nobody. And thus he is doing what he wants to do. And the Bible says that he is associating with people and doing things that he was raised knowing better. It wasn't that he didn't know better, it was he didn't care. Here was a young man that had decided, if I want to do it, no one will tell me not to do it. So in our study, I recognize the trail. I see the young man leaving home. I see the young man with money in his pockets. I see the young man walking to the far country. I see the young man beginning to go in and associate with people that were living in sin. And he enjoyed the sin. He enjoyed being away from the Father. He enjoyed the passing pleasure of doing his own thing in his own way. But have you ever noticed something? When you read your Bible in the book of Luke in the 15th chapter, I stand amazed every time I read it. In Luke 15 and verse 14, after it says, when he had spent all. You ever notice sometimes when you're going out and living life and you're not particularly careful with money, you can go through it like water? Here was a young man, it wasn't his, he didn't earn it, it was something his father gave him, so he probably was just spending left and right. And all of a sudden, he had spent all, and then there arose a severe famine in the land. And he began to be in want. Have you ever noticed that God can use something to get our attention? Now, there didn't have to be a severe famine that came, but there was a severe famine that came. And you know, when this young man was on the pig pen trail, this would have been a good time to turn around. He didn't have to go all the way to the pig pen. He could have turned around. At any point on the trail that led away from the Father, if that young man had come to himself, he could have turned around and went home. But this young man went out and the famine came. He hits bottom. And you know what that young man tries to do? Instead of trying to turn around, humble himself, he tries to make a success of sin. Have you ever noticed he thought he could live in the far land? In your Bible, in Luke 15, some of the saddest words are found. In Luke 15, notice that the Bible says that in verse 15, he went and joined. Underscore joined. He joined himself to a citizen of that. Underscore the word that. The far country. He joined himself. You know what that means? He forced himself upon that man. That man didn't want to be his friend. But he said, I need somebody to help me. I'm away from home. I'm away from all that I'm used to. I'm in the far land. I'm in want. I have needs. And thus that young man joined himself to a citizen that's in the same situation he's in the far country. And he says, you know what I'll do? I'll make a success of sin. But notice what he is told to do. You go into the swine field and you feed the swine. And for the Jewish boy, there's no lower thing than to be near swine. And then if you have your Bible, look at verse 16. He would have gladly filled the stomach with the pods that the swine had. I don't know what he talks about there, but I'll tell you one thing. I've been with them when they've slopped the hogs. And if you would eat what the slop is, you're hungry indeed, because I've never had a desire to eat pig slop. And here is a young man, and he looks out, and he says, you know, that looks pretty good. Then the Bible says something in verse 17. He came to himself. Have you ever noticed that it was in the pig pen that all of a sudden he got a better view of the Father's house? When he's in the pig pen, all of a sudden, the Father's guidelines and the rules and restrictions of home didn't seem so bad. And all of a sudden, going home and sleeping in the bed that Daddy provided didn't seem so bad. And all of a sudden, all the work that the Father had required of him didn't seem so bad. In the swine, in the pig pen, he recognized one thing. He recognized a better view of the Father's house. That sin led him to a place he didn't really want to go. Oh, he enjoyed those passing pleasures of sin while he lived it. But now notice, all the friends are gone. Notice, the famine has come. Notice, all that he had left behind is not with him. And in the swine pit, in the mire. He said, in my Father's house. I wonder if that was the first time he thought of the Father's house in a long time. When he was living it up, I bet he tried to keep Father out of his mind. I probably shouldn't tell things. Sometimes I tell it and regret it. I remember one time when I was a young man. Some of us got a hold of some Jack Daniel whiskey and we just said we're going to chug it and see what it's like. And I'll never forget when I started chugging it, it went down the front of my shirt. And I put in enough chewing gum that my mouth looked like a too big old jamoon. And when I came home, my mama said, son, you've been drinking? Oh, no, no. Smelled like a distillery out here in Morton. And you know what I learned? I learned a great lesson that time. That the rules of my Father's house had consequences. I read about a young man one time who did the same sort of thing, and his grandmother normally would whip him, and he was thankful every time she would. But this time she didn't whip him when he had got drunk. Instead, she waited till they went to town. And when they got to town, she said, I want you to come with me. And they went to the bad side of town. He said, Mama, what are we going over here for? She said, you'll see. And she walked her down Skid Row, where all the drunks were. And he said, what are we doing here? And she said, I'm introducing you to your friends. And he said, I don't know them. She said, not yet, but if you keep on the road you're going, this is where you're going to be, and I thought I'd introduce you to some of them so you'll know them when you get here. Have you ever thought, my friend, you can get on a trail that leads you to a place you really don't want to go? It can look so tempting and enticing. It can look like it's going to lead you to a place that's going to bring joy and happiness. But when you get there, I'll tell you what the devil sells you. He sells you a bill of lies. And you end up in the swine pit. And then you can see the Father's house. And you see that what the Father was doing by giving us guidelines and telling us what He has told us was for our good. To protect us. Not to take away joy, but to give us joy. Now I want to take that. I want to make 3 or 4 points in the lesson series. The first thing I want us to recognize is we need a guide. You and I need somebody. You know what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10? It's not within man to direct his own steps. And I'll tell you who we need to let guide us is our Creator. And His Word guide us. Because every precept, every law, every command, everything He's given us is for our good. Can you name me one command God gave that wasn't for our good? That was just to take away joy? No, everything is for our good. And we need a guide. And we need someone mightier than we are to lean on. Remember years ago, the song came out, Lean On Me? It's like an 11-year-old boy singing, Lean On Me. Didn't even have his grown-up teeth yet. He's wanting the world to lean on. I thought, what would I be leaning on? I want to lean on someone greater than I. I want to lean on God, and I need God to guide me. But secondly, we weren't made to live a life of sin. We are made in the image of God. And God didn't create us just so we go out here and live the way we want. We got young men and young ladies who are about to graduate high school. My prayer is when you graduate high school, you remember one thing. You may be out of the presence of your mother and your father. You may be in a different city. But one thing I had to remember, and one thing every one of us must remember, we are never out of the presence of God. And I want us to recognize that while we live our lives, we're not made to live in sin. We are made for greater things. We are made in the image of God that we may glorify God as we live here. And though we're tempted, and though trials come, and though there is pleasure in sin, we pass those up recognizing that God's guidelines are for our good, for our benefit. The Creator knows what's good for His creation. And may I say something without being over illustrative to our young men and young ladies? With all the time we're coming up in the this time of year, let's just remember one thing. Whether it be in the back seat of a car or at home where parents aren't, if you can't thank God for it, you better not do it. Because God has given us guidelines on how we're to live a life of purity, no matter our age. But that brings up another thing. I want you to think about that. You can't make a success of sin. I've had some people tell me, "Preacher, you know, I want to make my life right, but I've got to do some things first. I will one day make my life right, but I've got this I need to do, I've got that I need to do." And I'll tell you what, my friend, a man or a woman who doesn't have enough conviction to turn around now is a man or a woman who probably never will. I have had people say, "I know what I need to do. There's no question what I need to do. But I've got a lot on my plate right now, and once I get all that worked out, then I'll spend time with God." My friend, it may be too late. You may not get that far down the trail. And my question to you this morning is, what would it take for God to get your attention? It took a famine in this young man's life, but now is the time to turn around. It is insane to continue to live a life of sin. Notice that the Bible says the young man came to himself. He came to his senses and he saw that he was created for something greater than feeding the swine. And may I tell you what this world is? Nothing but swine. Because it's not what God intended the world to be. And when we go out and live in sin and in mire and muck, and when we go out and we ignore what our Father has told us, I'll tell you, it's a sad condition. I have a brother. He's got a lot of problems. He was abused as a baby before he was adopted. He's in Florida right now. He's been in jail. And I feel so sorry for him, and I'd do whatever I could to make him help. He called the other day. He said he's living under bridges now. And me and my father had trouble sleeping, thinking about how can we help. We just can't send him money because we don't know where the money goes. That hurts. I want to tell you that cuts to the heart. But I'll tell you what else. If you're not right with your Heavenly Father, you know what you are in this world? You're a homeless person. Because Paul said our citizenship's in heaven. The other day when we were riding home, I was talking to the boys and Sam was listening and Jackson, and Mary said that Birmingham was her home, and I said, "Well, I call Charlotte, Tennessee home." And he said, "I thought heaven was home." The older I get, I just say, I'm going to 121 Himesville, maybe. And wait till the day I go home to be with my Father. And to know at one time I was lost, and I was dead spiritually. But because of what His Son done on Calvary, I've been found and I'm alive by His grace. And you know what? You can be too. You don't have to be homeless. You don't have to be an orphan or a child of the devil. You can come home and be a child of God. Pastor Gil, let me stand this morning.